south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, it's time we talk about gringos and expats who come down to Latin America, have a plan B and all that, and after coming down a while, maybe 3, 6 months, even a year, they give up, they throw in the towel, go back home. You know, there's always a certain percentage of people who do throw in the towel. Now, you know, I do a lot of phone and signal app consults with people, and I can usually tell, after speaking with a gonna-be or wannabe expat for an hour or so, if he or she is a good match for Latin America. Because, you know, you have to have some certain characteristic attributes in your personality. Like, for example, you got to be flexible. Man, do you have to be flexible. Are you flexible? I think everyone says to themselves, I'm flexible. But are you flexible enough? Just like everyone thinks they're above average. I'm guilty of that, are you? Might not be true, but I'm guilty. And of course, if you're going to make a go of it in Latin America, you got to be curious and somewhat of a chance taker. That's a given. Because obviously, you'll be cashing in and ditching everything back home and coming down to a brand new land, brand new culture, brand new society. But I think above all, you have to be flexible. Because right off the bat, you're going to be hit smack in the face with mañana time. And believe me, no gringo who's lived all his life up in the States is ready for that. We're the ones who invented fast food. Minute steaks. Minute Maid orange juice. Nestle's Quick. All of it bad for you. All of it junk, but fast. It's like that Joe Walsh song, Life in a Fast Lane. Come to think of it, we invented the fast lane too. And then suddenly, or not so suddenly, you have that revelation. It's time to get the hell out of Dodge. Get that plan B going. And you're down in Latin America, where there ain't no such thing as a fast lane. Well, I take that back. On highways down here, they have a fast lane, but it's always the slowest idiot and the biggest shitbox that's hogging that lane. Hell, down here out in the boonies, some guys still ride donkeys and burros. I mean, look, none of us like to wait in lines, right? For example, think about the longest period of time you had to wait in a bank in line, or a doctor's office, or the driver's testing station. I'll tell you, most Americans I know get pretty riled up after 20 minutes standing in any line. Though, it's kind of funny. I remember way back when, and remember, I'm a boomer. I remember standing in line for 6 hours for Rolling Stones tickets. Remember those days before the age of Ticketron and all those online ticket services? Way back then, you actually had to get up at 3 a.m. and stand in line at the box office. And usually, you'd arrive thinking you got to jump on everyone, and there'd be guys and gals there sleeping in cots and lawn chairs with tents pitched. They'd been hanging out since the previous day. I know some of you guys out there remember those days well. You got stories. These days, it strikes me funny just how much our concept of time has changed and how long or short a time we're willing to wait for things. Seems the smartphone generation has the attention span of a gnat. It's funny how people get hot under the collar if they have to stand in line for 20 minutes, yet when they were adolescents or young adults, they'd stand in line for 6 hours for Guns N' Roses tickets. They'd even have fun. They'd make a party out of it. But these days, with such short attention spans, people want everything right now or they get irritated or blow a gasket. So again, the word is flexibility if you're thinking about having a permanent plan B here in Latin America. Flexibility goes hand in hand with another thing called patience. Yep, patience. You might have heard of it. You're going to need a heap and helping of that somewhat scarce virtue, too. Now, it's true. I've known gringos and expats who are hyper-nervous. They're hyper-type-A personalities. That's what we used to call them, type A's. They say to me, Johnny, that's why I'm moving to Latin America. So I can relax, calm down, lower my blood pressure. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you haven't got patience now, you can't switch it on and off, but you're going to have an infinite amount of time to practice that art. Just realize when you get down here, things won't be like they are up in the States. Things will irritate you. Things that you can't change. Cultural things. But thankfully, in your own environment, your own house, your own living quarters, your own yard, and sometimes even in your own neighborhood, you could have things exactly as you want them. But once you walk outside your door, the things that bug or irritate you are going to be things you just can't change. So you have to get used to being flexible. develop a little patience or you'll become a chronic whining complainer. And it's the chronic whining complainer that generally ends up throwing in the towel. Though I sort of have to believe what a lot of well-adjusted expats tell me. They say expats who are chronic whining complainers down here were probably just like that up in the States, too. Even so, people ask me all the time, what percentage of gringos do throw in the towel after having a plan B down here? I'd say when it comes to gringos and expats who come down here to live permanently, about 20% of them end up going back within the first year. However, when you're talking about gringos and expats who have one foot in Latin America and one in the States, that is, they still have a house or apartment up in the States, they go back to maybe 4 or 6 months a year. I'd say almost all of those guys and gals do stick it out. But here's the thing. Here's what I've noticed. Once you've been down here 6 months or more, continuously, I'd even put it at a year, your chances of staying down here permanently vastly increase. I repeat, it takes about 6 months of being down here to know if you're really cut out to be a permanent gringo expat. That's why it's so important when you get down here not to buy anything right away. Just get some boots on the ground, rent a place here and there for 6 months, place you've investigated a little bit. By then, you'll know the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great as far as real estate and neighborhoods. That said, I'd like to read you now a typical story about a guy who made it to the six-month point. A guy who did decide to throw in the towel. He couldn't take it. Just too many cultural aggravations piled up on him. And as I riff through this story, I think you'll recognize that he's not the kind of guy who, like a duck, lets water splash right off his back. It seems with him, as with lots of other expats, who aren't too patient and not all that flexible. Now, I have to admit, when I first got down here many years ago, I saw the same things he saw, and more. The thing is, back then, in around 1990, there were many more irritations and annoyances. Remember, there wasn't an internet to speak of. There were cell phones and cell phone service, but terribly spotty. And long-distance calls were a buck a minute. That is, if you could even get through. Sometimes it took 3, 4, even 5 tries. And each of those tries, whether you got through or not, was a connection, so it cost you a buck each time. And, of course, back then, no Google Translate or any kind of translate, no lookups of anything, no maps or GPS services to find your way around the twisted curves and crazy road designs and lack of street signs in the cities, no Amazon, no Walmart, no Costco, etc., etc. So, think about it. Having a plan B and moving to Latin America is a breeze compared to what it was 20 or 30 years ago. The hardest part about doing it now isn't the Latin American part of the journey, it's the getting out of the U.S. with your ass and assets intact part of the journey. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you get your plan B going, come down here to Latin America and can't make it, if you're one of those who ends up throwing in the towel, it's not because Latin America isn't a great option to get the hell out of Dodge. Chances are, it's your personality. You're just not tolerant or flexible enough to adapt. Yeah, I admit, down here there's lots of little things that'll annoy the shit out of you. To me, they're mostly little things, and the major things that really annoy, you really can't change. They're embedded in the culture. You either fight them or avoid them. I usually choose to avoid them, like the upcoming example with dogs. Of course, the magnitude of those irritations are in the eye of the beholder, too. The thing is, if you're living up in the States or Canada or anywhere in the first world, you have to weigh the inconveniences of living there, too. And as you know by now, the irritations and inconveniences of living in the first world are not small. Especially since the COVID thing and the lockdowns, they become intolerable. You well know if you're living up in the States, you're in a virtual police surveillance state. Isn't that why most of you listen to this show, to get ideas on how to get the hell out of Dodge? So basically, when you're thinking about coming and living down in Latin America, you're thinking about making a big trade. You're trading huge, life-changing inconveniences like the complete loss of your privacy and your civil rights, and loss of control of your own banking and finances. You're trading that for the ability to go back in time, 20, 30, even 40 years. Because that's how things roll down here in most of Latin America. We've got some heavy lag time going, and that's a good thing. You know, I hear it all the time from gringos and expats. They tell me, it started with 9/11, TSA, the Patriot Act, and the lockdowns. They tell me, if you're living in the first world, you're pretty much a ward of the state. Isn't it funny, though, once you get down here to Latin America, to the third world, you get all those freedoms you lost back. Your privacy, your basic civil rights, your right to be left alone, etc., etc. But the price you'll pay is you'll have to put up with those little inconsistencies and inconveniences, like manana time and a little bit of sloppiness and lack of detail. And you can either let that stuff roll off your back like a duck sheds water, or you could let it pile up until you get so irritated and pissed off you say, screw it, I've had enough. Hell, I'm going back to the States to the devil I know, the one I'm accustomed to. At least that devil speaks English. So, that said, allow me to read a few bits of a rant from a guy who came down with a plan B, a guy who wasn't all that flexible or patient, a guy who let all those little irritations and inconsistencies pile up on him to the point where he said, screw it, I'm out of here. And I'll paraphrase this. It starts, I just spent 6 months living in Mexico. It's a failed state. The country is ranked number one in the OECD for child abuse, number one in the world for dead journalists, and number four in the world for murder. It also ranked number three in the world for animal abuse, which, judging from my experience, is no surprise. Fact is, he says, Mexico is bursting at the seams with dogs. These dogs are not family members. They're street dogs. But alarm systems they are. They're beasts of burden to be used, abused, and thrown away. Local Mexicans will sometimes say, hey, my dog's a working dog. He's a guard dog. What of it? But that's not a good enough reason to chain your dog to your roof and neglect it for years. He says, walking down streets full of starving, chained-up dogs exposes one to constant streams of psychic pain, much like that which famously drove famous philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche insane. As the story goes, one day in 1889, Nietzsche saw a horse beaten to death on the streets of Turin, Italy. He lost his mind and had a mental breakdown on the street and never rode again. Then again, Nietzsche may have actually lost his mind because of untreated syphilis that ate his brain. Anyway, he further writes, I saw an unlimited number of unneutered dogs with sad eyes cooped up on tiny brick patios, languishing in their own filth, chained up on roofs, starving in the street, and sometimes rotting by the side of the road. Not to mention Mexicans and Latin Americans in general don't pick up their dog poop. Wait a minute. Me, Johnny here. I beg to differ. I'd say about 1 in maybe 2,000 Latin Americans picks up his dog poop. They don't even pick up the poop when their whole yard looks like a minefield. Anyway, he continues, and I'll tell you what I didn't see. I didn't see local dog owners walking their dogs for exercise. In contrast to the leafy first world suburbs up north where I grew up, dogs were man's best friend. There, it's impossible to look outside the window without seeing a dog being walked by its attentive owner at any given time of day, despite the fact that the leafy suburb in question is significantly more sparsely populated than any street in Mexico. Then he says there's a travel blogger named Jake Nomada, who affectionately refers to the lack of common sense found in Mexico and many areas throughout Latin America as the Latin hammer. H-A-M-M-E-R, hammer. Some examples he gives of the Latin hammer include getting stuck in traffic for hours because road workers are on a siesta break, or just plain getting scammed by landlords, or having to pay bribes to cops. Then he says, for me, my version of the Latin hammer manifested itself in power outages, ant infestations, and a lack of hot water. I lived in 3 different Airbnbs in Mexico, and at each one, I had to wait for several hours to check in because the host forgot about me. Zero customer service, another Latin hammer. And he says, after my early attempts at ordering something from Amazon online failed, with my package usually failing to arrive at all, I quickly abandoned my e-commerce efforts altogether. Oh, and about my Airbnb experience in Mexico, he says, my neighbor, a Latino guy also ensconced in an Airbnb, ran an unlicensed tattoo parlor from his Airbnb room and advertised it with a flyer on his door. His room was facing a street with lots of foot traffic, so he did get some business. Naturally, he says, in a first world country, the guy could expect the cops to shut him down in under a week, but here in Mexico, he knows the cops won't care, so they'll never show up. Oh, and did I mention every pharmacy sells every kind of pharmaceutical drug and anabolic steroids, too, without a prescription? Oh, and I'll never forget being serenaded to sleep every night by feral cats brawling outside my window, coupled with blaring mariachi music. He says Latinos do like to party into the wee hours of the morning, every morning, no matter if there's work the next day or not. Oh, and did I mention every single day I would see infants sitting in the front seats of cars without car seats or restraints? That's something I never saw in the U.S. or Canada. They'd lock you up for that. Once I saw at my window a man scampering up a multi-story scaffold without any helmet, boots, or harness. He says the constant disregard for safety was shocking and made me think maybe I'm not as libertarian as I thought I was. Then he says, blogger Steve Saylor posits that Mexicans dislike safety precautions because they sense that keeping their country perilous and shoddy will keep the gringos from swamping it. However, I think, he says, if Mexicans do subconsciously maintain shoddy standards in order to ward off gringos, it's not working at all, because the number of Americans living in Mexico surged by 75% last year compared to 2019, with the Los Angeles Times reporting that this is angering Latino locals who are fed up with Americans coming to their country. They come with a demanding and conquering attitude, speaking a foreign language, with money so it raises the rents and displaces their culture. But you know, for all those Mexicans who complain about gringos coming down and replacing their culture, for them, I'm playing the blues on the world's smallest violin. Then he says, I found not only did I not fit in with the locals, I didn't even fit in with the expats, half of whom seemed to be Russians escaping being drafted to Donbass. And who can blame them? And it seems the other half of expats I meet in Mexico are self-styled internet mavens and life coaches. For whatever that's worth. Devoted to clubbing, cocaine, healing crystals, TikTok, and Instagram. He says, I guess there aren't many wandering scholarly gringo cowboys left in Mexico, now that it's blanketed by Wi-Fi, TikTok, Walmart, McDonald's, Bumble, Starbucks, and OnlyFans. And then he concludes by saying, I find myself utterly exhausted by the Latin hammer. Though perhaps I'm just a coddled and delicate gringo. But I'll tell you, after a half year, it's time to call it quits. Then he says, the way illegal Mexicans and Latinos are pouring into the states, with recorded illegal crossings in 2022 and 2023 at the Mexican border, breaking all previous annual records by over a million. He says, I predict America's destiny will be barbed wire, metal bars, and crushed beer bottles adorning every fence in every neighborhood. Won't that look third world stylish? A touch of home sweet home. All right, there you have it, straight from a gringo who threw in the towel after 6 months in Mexico. Now, of course, I could make lots and lots of comments and rebuttals about every little point he made there. The only thing I will say is that Mexico is not typical Latin America. It's a very gringo-contaminated version of Latin America. You've heard me say that 100 times with 100 different examples. But, you know, he's right about certain things, like, for example, the dogs and the uneducated, untrained, unskilled, and uncultured Latinos that continuously sneak illegally into the states, bringing all their bad habits and customs with them. Because you know the old saying, po' folks have po' habits. Meanwhile, surprise, surprise, educated, cultured Latinos do not escape to the United States. Educated, cultured Latinos have good jobs, good careers, and nice middle and upper middle class lives. Though occasionally when you're sitting around a party, one or two of them might express the desire to live in the States or Canada or Europe. Though it's just an off-the-cuff remark. Like the average American saying, I'd like to live in Rome or Dubai or London. But they're in no way serious about it. They won't do it. They're doing fine right where they are in their home country. And they know it. In fact, I talk to educated Latinos all the time. Sure, they all want to shop in Miami, visit Disney World in Nueva York. And many of them do. They like it a lot, but they've got no plans to move there. For one, they realized right away the cost of living and rents in the U.S. can be twice or even 3 times as much as their home country. Do you really think any of those Latinos living fine in their own countries want to take a huge financial and economic haircut by moving to the States? No way. Now, the truth is, if you're a gringo or expat living in Latin America permanently, you have to have a sense of humor. If you don't, please stay home. All right, moving on. Speaking of lax Latin American law enforcement, listen to this. I'm looking at an online translation in English of a Latin newspaper, El Mercurio, the Mercury. It's in English, and it's all about keeping gringos and expats in Ecuador up to date on the news and what's happening in the country, since there are so many gringos there who can't speak a lick of Spanish. Well, in the most recent issue this week, there's an article about speed trap radars that have been installed throughout Ecuador. mostly in Cuenca, where the majority of gringos are. By the way, don't you think it's funny or some kind of coincidence why speed trap radars get installed in pretty much only the neighborhoods where gringos live and hang? That's exactly what happened in places like Costa Rica and Cancun. Think about that for a minute. You'll never see them if you're living off the gringo tourist trail. Anyway, there's a big governmental roundtable discussion about those radar traps in Ecuador. Here's the dope on it. They're automatic. They take a picture of your car and your license. And since mail delivery is so spotty in Latin America, if you get a ticket, they don't bother to send it by mail. Instead, they post it on a website. If you don't pay it on time, the penalties mount up. And those fines keep adding up for gringos because they don't bother to check that site. They don't even know it exists. Who would know what site to even check it on? For one thing, it's a badly designed government website in Spanish only. Anyway, the article said, during the discussion about those speed radar traps, the point was brought up, and this is a government meeting now, that for some strange reason, the city of Cuenca, Ecuador, has more radar speed traps than their neighbors, Argentina and Peru. In other words, one city in Ecuador, coincidentally a gringoized city, has more electronic radar speed traps than two neighboring countries. Not cities, countries. Well, naturally, it's all about the money. And in just March and April, the system generated $4 million in fines. More than the country's entire police force has billed out in a year. You and I know that sucks. They're targeting gringos, for sure. Just like Costa Rica. You know, in Costa Rica, you get a speeding ticket. It's $500. Yet, oddly enough, they don't seem to give speeding tickets to locals. Only newer high-end cars and rent-a-cars, because guess who rents cars? One guess. Gringo tourists. But back to Cuenca. Now, here's the part you really got to love about Latin America. It says, to see if you have any of those automated radar speed trap fines, go to www.moviltecnologia.com. That's moviltecnology.com. It says you can find out if you've been fined by entering your passport or your cedula or your license plate or tax number. But remember, the site's in Spanish, though. So far, so good. But here's the part you gotta love. It says, it's unknown if the website will work or function properly if you've had an infraction and you bought your driver's license from one of those illegal license mills, like, for example, from the website, quote, start driving in Cuenca tomorrow, unquote. Are you getting this? They're saying that if you have an illegal license, you know, one that you just bought outright instead of taking the test or doing it through the police or the transit department, they're saying maybe the speed traps won't work on you. There's only one way to find out, though. Go to the website, plug in your license plate or passport, and see if your fake driver's license gave you a pass. By the way, according to some of the gringo expats I know who are living in Cuenca, Ecuador, they're saying about 25%, about a quarter, of the gringos with driver's licenses obtained them illegally. They never bothered to go down to the transit department and get them legally because they can't speak Spanish and the test's in Spanish. Instead, they just ask around because someone always knows a guy who will get you a license for $100. Oh, and there's another little article in this gringo expat rag that'll make you laugh for sure. Remember a couple of weeks ago, and way back when, a year ago, I was talking about how Ecuador passed a law saying it was illegal to have two or more guys on a motorcycle due to the fact that most robberies are committed by two guys on a bike. It's most often two thieves, two ladrones on a bike working as a team. You may remember I said it was a great idea, but a whole year passed and the cops haven't arrested a single person or impounded a single bike. So the crooks, knowing how cops are so weak about enforcing the law, they continued to ride two on a bike. Yeah, I know, it's a crying shame the idiot cops don't know what the hell they're doing. But there's more. Now, this other article I'm going to highlight for you is yet another reason why you gotta love Latin America. Or let's put it this way, you gotta love the fact that the government and the cops and the transit people are just way too lazy or incapable of messing with you as long as you don't get unruly. So here's the headline. There'll be renewed controls against drinking on the streets, starting now. Turns out, it said, there have always been rules against drinking in public spaces, you know, having beer and booze on the street and walking around. Again, we're talking about Ecuador. Specifically, once again, where all the gringos and expats hang. Anyway, it says, the Civil Guard is now reinstating controls against drinking in public spaces. Commander Damian Roman says, there are problem sectors that will be monitored frequently. He said the city guard will not fine people, but take actions to raise awareness. He said people drinking on the street will get a warning, and fines will only be levied as a last resort. So it says, and here's the translation, if you're out boozing on the street and a cop stops you, just smile and nod and maybe pour the drink out. And he'll smile, nod, and leave. However, it says, if you get aggressive and start flaunting, do you know who I am? I'm a gringo attitude. Things could go the other way. All right, me Johnny here. You know, drunk gringos in Latin America can sometimes be a problem. They can sometimes get loud. I've seen drunk gringos in front of cops say things like, we create jobs. We bring cold, hard cash into this country. If it wasn't for us, you wouldn't have a job. There wouldn't be any tourist cops. Well, you spout off like that and you'll get a fine. And the fine is not cheap. It's $225 for the first offense, and the second offense, $450. Bottom line, if you're drinking on the street and the cops show up, be nice. So then what kind of message can we get out of this article? Well, the head of the police department's telling you right out, if you're drinking on the street, you won't get fined unless you get nasty or brutish. But the thing is, they've got all the right in the world to fine you, but they're saying they won't. Now, I ask you, if you're walking around downtown Cleveland with a bottle of beer or open booze in your hand, if a cop sees you, how's that going to go down? Can't you see that down here in Latin America, you've got a massive amount of personal freedom? Question is, how much is your freedom worth to you? Is it worth getting the hell out of Dodge? A lot of the smartest guys and gals I know are doing it. And finally today, let's take this email from Mr. K, where he questions the differences in various healthcare systems. He poses an interesting question. He says, two patients limp into two different medical clinics with the same complaint. Both are geriatric, have pain when walking, and appear to need a hip replacement. The first patient is examined within the hour and has an x-ray in the office right away. The x-ray is reviewed, and a time is immediately booked for surgery the following week. The second patient sees his family doctor after waiting 2 weeks for an appointment. He gets an x-ray at a lab the following week. There's a 2-week waiting period to have the x-ray reviewed and report sent to the doc. There's an 8-week wait to see a specialist. And finally, the patient has his surgery scheduled 6 months from then. The question is, why such different treatments for the two different patients? Well, that's easy. It's because the first patient is a pet dog. The second patient, a Canadian senior citizen.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.